Back in 1913, a handful of California entrepreneurs set up shop across the bay from San Francisco to churn out gallons upon gallons of industrial-strength sodium hypochlorite bleach. They started out selling wagon loads of this stuff to local laundries, breweries, municipal water companies, but pretty soon they developed a lighter concentration household bleach, which they marketed as a cleanser and germicide. It came in small little bottles, pretty similar to the one you might have under your kitchen sink or your bathroom right now. And from the words chlorine and sodium hydroxide, which together form the product's active ingredient, they came up with the company's name, Clorox. Of course, today, Clorox and other chlorine bleaches are a common ingredient in the arsenal of household cleaning products. We use bleach's killing power to sanitize our toilets, to scour the bathroom tile, to cleanse the kitchen. We even use chlorine in our pools to chlorinate our water. But just how does this ubiquitous product work to wipe out bacterial foes? Well, new work in the lab may have found the answer. Joining me now to talk about that research out this week in the journal Cell is Ursula Jacob. He's an associate professor in the Department of Molecular, Cellular, and Developmental Biology at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and she joins us today from a studio in Ann Arbor. Welcome to the program, Dr. Jacob.
Hello, Ira. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's wonderful to be here.
Didn't we always know how bleach worked?
That is a very good question. We all assume, I guess many people assume that we knew. And this is also the response that I now get since we have published this study, actually. Oh, we didn't know how it works. So, and when we started out, we did not start out our research to try to figure out how bleach works. That was not even on our horizon, I have to say. We started out working on a bacterial protein, a stress protein called HSP33. And midway through this project, we actually stumbled onto hypochlorous acid, or the active ingredient in household bleach. And we had to figure out how it works. What we did.
And so how does it work?
So it works very similar than high temperature. So I have to go back a little bit to explain to you what stress does, or what high temperature or bleach does. It has the main or the most sensitive components in our cells, as well as in the cells of bacteria, are the proteins. Mm-hmm. And these are our workhorses, as you, I'm sure you know. They do everything. The muscle proteins allow us to walk, and the enzymes allow us to digest the food that we just here ate in Michigan to get the energy. And the same is true for bacteria. So, and we have thousands of different proteins. And for these proteins to do all those different jobs, they need to have very, very specific, beautiful structures. And we know many structures of those proteins. And you can sometimes compare it to houses. You know, every house has a specific structure to fulfill this specific function. And it's exactly the same with proteins. And what elevated temperatures, for instance, do when we have fever or when we incubate bacteria with elevated temperatures, these structures, these protein structures, some of them are being damaged. We call them the proteins unfold. They lose this beautiful structure.
Because proteins need to fold in the right way for them
to
work.
And
so when we heat them up or we put bleach on them, they unfold.
Exactly. They unfold. They lose the structure. And what they then do, they lose the function. Now, that's one problem. A much bigger problem, however, is it seems to be, at least during heat shock as well as during bleach stress, is that these proteins not only lose their structure, but they also start to form these large aggregates. So when proteins unfold, they expose their core, which is a very sticky core, but it's usually surrounded by the outside, so it doesn't matter. But when they unfold, they start to stick to other proteins that also unfold and form these large aggregates. And this is very dangerous for the cells. And you can compare that very nicely when you make your 5-minute breakfast egg. So you start out with the egg and you have this liquidy egg white and yolk and everything is liquid and it doesn't taste very good. And you start heating it up. And within 5 minutes, what you do is you unfold all these egg proteins. They start to clump together. They aggregate, as we call it, and then they form this hard mass that you can eat with a little bit of salt on top, and it tastes delicious. And this is exactly what we found that bleach does as well. It targets these, we call them thermolabile proteins, proteins that have the tendency to unfold when you slightly rise the temperature. It targets those proteins and starts to unfold them, and then these proteins start to aggregate.
And they're just, so you destroyed the proteins in the bacteria and they're gone.
That's at least one mechanism by which we think it works. Hmm. Yes, yes.
Does the bacteria have any way of fighting back?
Yeah, and this is actually what we started out with. We started out with a bacterial protein called HSP33 that we found about 10 years ago. And we knew it is protecting bacteria, but we didn't know against what. And this is actually how we found bleach in the first place. Because what you do when you know you have a protein and you don't know exactly what it does in bacteria, you can do something that's in bacteria actually very easy to do. You remove that protein from the bacteria, and then you have a bacteria that makes your protein and a bacterium that doesn't make this protein. So otherwise, they're completely identical. And it's a very nice setup because now you can test under what conditions does your protein become essential for the bacteria to survive. Mm-hmm. And this is how we found my postdoc in the lab, Jeanette Winter, the first author of this study, found that out because she treated the bacteria with bleach, and we found when the bacteria lacked HSP33, they were more sensitive to bleach. They also started to have more proteins aggregated, and they died with much lower concentrations of bleach. In wild-type bacteria, on the other hand, which express HSP33, we had fewer protein aggregates, and they withstood a higher concentration of bleach.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the bleach this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News with Ursula Jacob. I guess that's why bleach can hurt you also. I mean, the good cells, if you are exposed to it, or even the chlorine compound of it.
That is true. So what hurts us is mainly when we inhale chlorine gas. That's really what hurts us the most. And this can happen, for instance, and you might know from your mother or grandmother, never mix bleach with ammonia, for instance, because you do the chlorine gas. And that can be fairly toxic when you inhale it. What many people don't realize is that, and I find that always quite fascinating, is that people reinvented bleach because bleach has been invented, or the nature evolution has come up with bleach about many, many millions of years ago. Because we have in our body these little bleach factories that they're called neutrophils, they're white blood cells. And all that they do is they find bacteria in our body that they want to fight, and they do that by taking these bacteria up and then releasing very high concentrations of bleach to kill off these bacteria.
So our body's making bleach itself to kill the bacteria.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So we actually just reinvented something evolution has come up with long, long time ago.
Now we talked about inflammation earlier. Could this bleaching be causing inflammation during an attack?
That is something scientists are looking into, because what happens is, especially at sites of chronic inflammation, that you have neutrophils, these white blood cells that make that bleach, and it might be this uncontrolled secretion of bleach to the not only to the inside where the bacteria are, but to the outside, that starts then damaging the own proteins in the body. Absolutely.
Wow. So we've come full circle on the inflammation question.
I think so too, yes.
And I did not know that we make our own bleach.
Yeah. There's also the idea that we also make bleach in our mucosal membranes, so in our bronchi and in our intestine, to limit bacterial formations. There were bacterial colonization. There was a very nice study in Science a few years ago which showed in fruit flies that there is an enzyme that makes and secretes hypochlorous acid, the active ingredient of bleach, and it limits and reduces the extent of bacterial colonization in the fruit flies. And we have the same protein in our bronchi, in our gut.
Fascinating, Dr.
Yes,
Jacob.
Yeah.
So you're a bleach expert. Thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you.
And
it was a pleasure.
Good
Thank
luck you. To you. Ursula Thank Jacob you. Is an associate professor in the Department of Molecular, Cellular, and Developmental Biology at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Everything you wanted to know about bleach produced inside your body.